Butler. I guess, Representative Butler, you went into a recess for us.
Yes, we did. We just took a...
So we're out of the recess, and Judy, if you would like to go ahead and explain to us the A5 amendment. Oh, definitely.
We don't have
a quorum yet, so we'll just hang on a second, and we'll, we get,
And we need Representative Payton here to explain the A5, so he'll know what we're doing there, at least.
Get a quorum here. We'll just go forward and with the other bill. Judy, you were going to explain the, we are in work session now. We're still in a public hearing. Just go ahead and explain the dash A5 amendment.
The A5 amendments address two things. They are set up to allow a licensee applicant, to continue to operate during the first quarter of 2002, as long as they have an application pending. We did that to give the agency a little bit more time to transition into this program. The other thing that it does is it directs the advisory board to consider a licensing or other type of revenue for this program so that it can continue after this biennium.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on the dash A5 amendments?
Just one question on the A5, line 10 on the A5 on the first page there. Well, it talks about proof that the person has applied for a license. That person would be whoever the program is. Is that right? That's broad. Thank you.
Yeah. Question. Why is the Marine Board singled out in page 2, section 11?
The Marine Board currently licenses guides and outfitters. That is why they are here.
All guides and outfitters. The horse packers are licensed by the Marine Board.
I'm not certain what exactly their licensing requirements are.
The rock climbers are licensed by
the rock climbers.
The mountain climbing guides.
Just those that are guides for game, I think is what.
I think it's game. We do know that about 10 people that are involved in these outdoor schools are currently getting licenses from the Marine Board.
Well, my question is, if these are outdoor programs, the Marine Board only deals with a small segment of outdoor activities. Why is it just the Marine Board?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hayden, if I could, when we started looking into this bill, out of the blue came the Marine Board saying, hey, by the way, if you need help on the bill, you might want to check with us because we're the only state agency out there right now that has any kind of licensure for these programs, because under state law, if you take people up in the wild as a guide or you guide them into the wild, you have to get a guide license from the Marine Board. They do register about 1,000 different guides in the state covering all the things you just mentioned. And so in order for them to continue that guides permit program, which apparently they have to have to coincide with some of the federal lands permits, they are very grateful that we're doing this legislation because it puts more checks and balances on their current system for issuing a guide's license, which is very minimal. And so in order for them from this day forward to issue a guide's license, they would have to, for these particular programs, not for horseback or any of the others, they would require the person applying for the guide's license to get the SCF license first.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we are going to go into a work session on House Bill 3330. And before I do, I appreciate the discussion this morning. I appreciate Representative Hayden's concerns. And I certainly want to thank Representative Knoth and Representative Hill, Representative Westman, for all the work they've done on this issue to do the best they can to try to protect our youth that are in these programs. And with that, we will... Representative Butler?
Madam Chair, I move that we include the dash A5 amendments to House Bill 3330.
You've heard Representative Butler's motion. Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
I'm concerned and surprised that only one state agency will be allowed to register under this program, because there are many outfitting and guiding services. There are mountain guiding services. There are big game guiding services, as well as marine guiding services. And I see no reason why there's only the Marine Board included in this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Hayden. Any further discussion? Any objection to moving the dash A5? We'll note Representative Hayden as an objection to the dash A5 amendments being added to the bill. Any further objection? Not so moved. Representative Butler?
Madam Chair, I move the 3330 as amended with the A5 and previously as A engrossed to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
We've heard Representative Butler's motion. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
I believe this bill will cause an undue amount of bureaucracy. I believe it will be difficult for a social worker to differentiate the programs, and they will bring all such programs under one umbrella, thereby disenfranchising hundreds, if not thousands, of young children who will be denied the opportunity to participate in volunteer programs with parents, friends, and church members. More than that, those agencies that are now licensed and have a license will engage in a turf battle with other groups who might want to participate that are not licensed. It will be competition between the groups to seize the high ground, to expand their scope of practice, to define their turf, and we see it with all agencies, and that's why we see that agency on page 2, line 8, getting their oar in the water early on. So, Madam Chair, I think that the cure is worse than the disease. It's true we've had the occasional tragedy, but on the other hand, tens of thousands of children have benefited from these programs under the guidance of parents, counselors, unpaid volunteers, and many of those people will be reluctant to participate if they have to pass under the glaring stare of a bureaucratic social worker who will pass on their credentials. I'm opposed.
Madam Chair.
Representative Witt.
I'm going to join Representative Hayden in opposing this, and it seems to me that a better approach here would have been to distinguish between for-profit commercial entities and nonprofit entities in terms of the provision of these types of services to young people. And I share Representative Hayden's concern that this introduces a level of bureaucracy and scrutiny that I think in many cases is probably not warranted and probably will have a chilling effect on a lot of nonprofit organizations, church organizations, and others that work with troubled kids in these kinds of programs. I could have supported this bill, I think, if it had been defined more carefully, but it wasn't, and because of that, I also will not be supporting the bill today.
Thank you, Representative Blair. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I just for the record, to note that we've talked about the parent-adult-child ratios, the fee-for-services, those non-remunerative programs, and I would just charge the Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board that would be set up to be sensitive to the issues that have been brought forward that have been expressed as concerns by both Representatives Hayden and Witt. And with that, I call for the question.
Representative Butler calls for the question. Any further objection? If not, the motion is passed. I would just say, before I close the work session, I appreciate the work that Representative Hayden has done this morning in trying to establish a record here for his concerns, and I appreciate that. I do know we are to deal with the fiscal issues, but we also, as legislators, have a responsibility to recognize that there are issues that we want to be sure that we do not create the bureaucracy that Representative Hayden mentioned, but we also want to protect children and not have any further accidents that Representative Knope and Representative Westman have, and Representative Hill have brought the issue forward for.
Vote on the motion.
Okay. The noes are Representative Witt and Representative Hayden, and all the rest are ayes, so the motion passes. And we'll close. Let's see, Representative Hayden, did you have another comment before we close the work session?
No, ma'am.
Okay, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3330. and I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2002. Thank you very much.
Are you going to go in the work session?
Yes. Oh, I need carriers for this bill. Representative will carry it in the House, obviously, and let's see, who do we have on the floor? Hill, Representative Hill in the full committee, and Senate committee. You need me? 2002, Dallas, do you want to give us, yeah, I did, public hearing and possible work session on 2002 and work session on 2002 relating to voter registration.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2002 A. Gross would require the Secretary of State to undertake a centralized voter registration system, working with county and other election officials, county clerks and other election officials. The issue here is here because it has a sizable fiscal, about $7 million overall. We have staff from the Secretary of State's office. If public testimony is to be provided. You have a staff recommendation before you, and also an analysis from legislative fiscal, giving different scenarios on the fiscal impact. Overall, the project is expected to cost upwards of $7 million. Different funding scenarios provide, say, under one approach to the project, causing the need for expenditure of approximately $2 million this biennium, $5 next biennium. Under another scenario, it would split to $7 million, about 50-50, $3.5 million this biennium, $3.5 next biennium. Did you want me to go into my recommendations on this?
I would like to know the position of the Secretary of State on the recommendation.
Do we have any
sign-ups? Also, we have Patty McGuire, Deputy Secretary of State. We support the recommendation of staff that we get $2 million this biennium and come back to the next legislature for the remainder. We've worked closely with the co-chairs and with staff on this and think this is the best way to proceed.
Yes, go ahead with your recommendation.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, staff's recommendation is before you to provide actually $2 million and $1. $1 is a placeholder general fund to establish the support and the authorization for the Secretary of State's office to go forward with this project, and then a special purpose appropriation of $2 million to the emergency board. This is consistent with prior actions with regard to information technology. Mm-hmm. The Secretary of State's office, this is new. They haven't been able to develop a plan. So I would recommend that the budget note, the $2 million go to the E-fund with the Secretary of State to come back. In the budget report, we could reflect it to come back to the Joint Legislative Committee on information management technology and the emergency board for that funding. This is consistent with other actions taken by Ways and Means.
So the recommendation, thank you, Madam Chair. The recommendation of legislative fiscal is to go ahead and set up a $1 line item in the Secretary of State's office, and then move $2 million to the general fund so that we can have that special purpose appropriation in the emergency board.
That is correct.
All right.
To amend the bill to include those provisions.
Okay. And do we have the actual amendment at this time?
We do not.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hannon.
I would move the proper amendment to House Bill 2002 that would carry out the intent of the LFO recommendation.
Discussion? Any objection? Not so moved.
Madam Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation along with the budget note that would direct the Secretary of State's office to come back. It would have $1 placeholder in the general fund, and it would allow the $2 million to be placed in the emergency fund for the Secretary of State to come back to the emergency board.
With the motion before us, any objection or any discussion?
Madam Chair,
Representative Hayden,
is the motion on an amendment or on the bill?
It's a motion on the budget note direction by legislative fiscal office.
No objection.
Any further discussion? If not, so moved.
Now the motion on the bill. Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2002 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Discussion. Representative Hayden.
Madam Chair, we move from public hearing to, well, we're in work session. May I ask a question of Patty?
Certainly.
On my memorandum from the legislative analyst, it has a sentence that says, it should be noted that the secretary believes this is a short timeline for a project of this size, complexity, and risk. Are those familiar words?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, yes, those are familiar words.
What is the risk?
The risk is that this is an extremely complex system. What we are proposing is to link the 36 county systems through a central system, so each county would continue to maintain their own system, and then we would develop a central system that would allow them to all talk to each other. I'm not a techno whiz, but I have our techno whiz with us if you want more detail about that. But it's my understanding that the technological implications of getting all these different computer systems is a very complex system, and therefore it's expensive, and we are committed to having this done in time for the 2004 presidential election, and it's just not very much time to do something that expensive and that complex.
Madam Chair, could I respond to that? Part of the risk, this has been an ongoing problem with the Secretary of State's office, not only in this administration, but previous administrations, and part of the problem has been trying to maintain the integrity of the voter registration system. Members will recall back in my early days when I came to the legislature in 75, we had where you could register up till 8 p.m. on election day. Created a potential problem where college students might be living in Medford, registered as a voter in Medford, go into Lane County as a student at Lane Community College and register to vote there. What this is an attempt to do is create a centralized system that would, in essence, tie all 36 county computer systems into a system to hopefully instill and maintain the integrity of a system that would alleviate those concerns from being there, because it's a perception problem that the public has that somehow we have lost the integrity of the voter registration system. That may or may not help you in your explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Representative,
follow up.
Representative Hayden, follow up from Representative.
In the case that the co-chair described, there's some apparent discrepancy, and there's an argument over whether a voter is properly registered or not registered. Who would have the ultimate decision-making power? Would it be the Secretary of State or the local election official?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that remains a local determination under Oregon law, and unless a complaint is filed with the Secretary of State's office. But under Oregon law, it is the Oregon 36 county clerks who have responsibility for determining eligibility of voters, not the Secretary of State. This would allow the clerks an additional tool, because the Oregon law allows people who are currently registered elsewhere and move inside the 20 days before the election, it allows the clerks to verify in a more timely way the eligibility of those people to cast a ballot. It's particularly a problem for people who move between counties, and something we saw last November, long lines outside on election day, long lines outside county elections offices of people who were wishing to cast a ballot who were not registered in that county and claimed to be registered in another county. This would allow this system would allow the clerks to A, see if that person is registered in another county instantly, and see if that person has cast a ballot in another county instantly. And we believe would be a huge deterrent to potential fraud, because it allows the clerks to know what voters are doing in other places on Election Day.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden?
And what would, in your experience since 1859, what would be your experience in the level of malfeasance of fraudulent voting, double voting?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, my experience doesn't go back to 1859, but we believe that the number of people who attempt to vote twice is very small. In this last election, we have referred to county DAs about a dozen, roughly a dozen voters statewide who voted twice. We believe voted twice. But I think there is a perception that the system needs to be stronger, and that these safeguards need to be in place. And I think the public confidence in the system is very important.
Representative Hayden, follow up.
Would it be your opinion that it would be the prudent thing to do to establish another state, not a bureaucracy in that we already have the Secretary of State, but another program, another state program, which would almost certainly cause some lack of local control and cost some millions of dollars in order to mitigate 12 fraudulent votes out of 2 million?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, our concern is that the public, particularly after the election last fall, and the perceptions that people have of problems with the system, the electoral system at several levels, we believe it is critical that the public's faith in the electoral system be restored. As you may recall, following the election, one of the presidential campaigns claimed and received a fair amount of press over a claim that there were literally thousands of people who had voted twice and received a fair amount of publicity over this, and claimed that they had a list of thousands of people who had voted twice. And I think that causes a perception, the perception that there is a problem with the system. And I think when people start to lose faith in their election system and the belief that their elections are free and fair, that becomes a problem at every level of government.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair. Let's see, I had Representative Butler, and then I had Representative Johnson.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The concerns I would have wouldn't be just for those 12 possible fraudulent votes or the perception that there may have been others, including, as Mr. McGuire has indicated, maybe thousands that could cast fraudulent votes. It would also be for those disenfranchised voters who are unable to cast their vote as a result of particularly for the state and national offices. And the ballot measures, if they happen to be residing in another location and had not, for whatever reason, received an opportunity to otherwise cast a ballot. So I would hope that a centralized program. And then I also wanted to state for the record that I appreciate the opportunity to see this come before the Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. That joint legislative committee will have purview, however, it does not require them to approve. But my experience with regard to that committee is that they are very, very thorough, and they kind of would hold the feet to the fire of the Secretary of State to make absolutely certain that that program had sufficient fail-safe on it that it would not allow any voter fraud.
And I'm sure their report to the emergency board will be what the emergency board will look at very carefully, many of whom are sitting on this committee now. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to help allay Representative Hayden's anxiety about local control. I spoke to my clerk about this, and granted, it's only one out of 36, but she enthusiastically embraces this as a safeguard to the integrity of the system, as well as helping to reduce workloads at the local level. She's quite supportive of it.
Any further discussion on the motion before us?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
In lieu of the cost of $6.9 million over the next two biennium, in order to address a very, very, very small problem, 12 votes, as we have on the record, a potential 12 fraudulent votes, and some concerns that I have, notwithstanding my good friend's comments, some concerns I have about loss of local control, I am a no vote.
Thank you, Representative Hayden. Any other objections to this motion? If not, so moved. I need a carrier to the Senator Hannon will carry it in the full committee and on the Senate, and Representative Johnson will carry it in the House. Thank you to the members of this committee for their hard work this morning, and thank you, Senator Hannon. We appreciate you joining us. We are adjourned.